Welcome to Between the Lines, a podcast about breaking down song lyrics and the meaning behind the words, but with the guest. My name is Jam Supernova, and today my guest is Sam Atpro. Sam, welcome along.
Thank you.
You said this is your first podcast.
Yeah, first one.
I like it. First of many, I hope.
Yeah.
So the idea is like an open conversation, and I've chosen Death by Entertainment, your single, to break down, and it came out back in 2023. I first met you in person outside Peckham Audio, but I've been a fan of you for a while. But I went to see your debut headline show, Peckham Audio, amazing venue, of course, in Peckham, southeast London, like a stone's throw from where you're from. Yeah. It felt like a homecoming.
For real.
Did it feel like that for you? Because you were outside and people were just like spilling onto the streets and you even came out to kind of greet people.
Yeah. No, it was fun. It was good because like I'm always on that strip, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's good to just, you know, I know all the security guards and stuff like that. So it's just fun, isn't it? Yeah, do you know what I mean? So just felt like the right thing to do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I felt that when I was in there, and I did get swept up in a mosh pit, and Hack Baker's friend saved me.
Oh, mad.
He just dragged me out of it. Yeah, he just was like, come stand here. I was willing to go in, but I kind of was like, I hesitated.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
So we have this little thing, which is a wine breaker. We don't have to drink the wine, but I like to gift my guests with wine. Oh, are you a wine drinker? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
So I didn't know what kind of wine guy you were.
Yeah.
But you know, you mentioned that you need to settle down to some point, and I thought that maybe you and your missus could enjoy this.
Appreciate
I went
that.
For the bottle. I just like the fact that it was wrapped in paper.
Yeah, no, it's nice.
Yeah, and I was watching your video, and I just thought this is the kind of wine that in Death by Entertainment, those kind of bankers would drink. You know,
and they swing it
walking down the
road.
It's fitting. This is for you.
Thank you so much.
No worries.
Appreciate that.
You have to do a reaction video once you open it and drink it, and I want to know if it's any good. Supermarket's finest. Okay, we are in. So this is the first single that came out on your new label, Home Anti. They're quite a big record label for alternative music. Why did you feel like this was the right song to kind of announce that sort of union?
It was just a bit of a statement kind of song, do you know what I mean? I just feel like it was like my most strongest vocal performance, lyrical performance, and just like sonic performance that I've done so far. Do you know what I mean? And it was just a vibe as well, wasn't it? You know what I mean?
Like leveling up.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? So, and it all just quite, it just like, the song got made really quick in like a matter of like a week or something. And it just felt like the right one to put out. Do you know what I'm saying? Me, I'm like my co-producer, Finn Billingham. Yeah, we made it in like a day, had all the lyrics, the vocals, everything, the sounds. Then just got it mixed and mastered and whatnot, and then just obviously just waiting for release times and stuff, and then so it just felt right, innit? Very natural, organic.
Those moments you've got kind of, they don't, you know, they've got to lean into them. Sometimes you could be working on songs for years, and sometimes it could be that moment. And where did you write it?
It was all written in Finn's studio in Camberwell. He was in his basement.
And was there anything kind of like, did you go to the studio like, this is what I want to talk about, or was there something in the room?
Sometimes I don't really try to think about the songwriting too much, but because I've just been getting more into like lyrics and like, I don't know, vocal performances and stuff like that, I kind of had a idea of just talking about that whole thing of like, you know, entertaining yourself and using the death thing, kind of not maybe literally but in a metaphorical way, do you know what I'm saying? Like just like killing your brain kind of thing, innit? So I think I just wrote the lyrics before as well. Yeah, I did write the lyrics first, just like walking around and shit. Yeah, I was quite excited by the lyrics, innit? I don't think I've written something in that kind of way before, you know what I'm saying? Trying to bring in like, I don't know, inanimate objects like phones and shit, like screens and stuff like that. Do you know what I'm saying? A bit more real, like grounded in the world kind of vibe.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a sort of, I would say it's like social commentary. I thought the song was on this sort of initial listen, and maybe and this is kind of why we do this podcast, because you know, I'm the listener, I'm the fan, and I'm going to attach a meaning to it, which might not be the meaning, but it's like you've got this label now, you've been this next sort of stage of your career, and I kind of thought the song was like a reference kind of to, I guess like everything that you sort of put into the music industry and that kind of being, having a physical effect on you.
That's kind of on the ball, but I think it was more to like maybe relate to the world outside of that. So maybe like working jobs and stuff like that, you know, because I was working like not for long, but like I was in a pub from the beginning of last year to like maybe like just the end of summer. And it was like, you know, sometimes you do really late nights where it's like go to like 3 a.m., don't get home till like 5 a.m. And then you kind of just treat that as like a, let me just drink or let me do this. And then you wake up and you're just like, you know, destroyed kind of thing, you know, tired and shit.
And then you do it all over again.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like kind of like a nod to that kind of like just living of life. You know what I'm saying? I have a lot of friends. Like, I think I'm a bit more fortunate now to like not have to do that as much, but I have a lot of friends or like my girlfriend and stuff like that who've like, you know, working 50 hour weeks, waking up and literally going home, having a bottle of wine because it's hospitality, and then like waking up doing it again, you know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, kind of like not really like, you know, saying this is what you need to do to resolve it, but just being like, yeah, that's a life, isn't it? You know what I'm saying?
Observational, so, and it's a life that, swap out the job role, you know, there's going to be an element even in what you do on tour, getting up, doing the same thing, but it's that kind of that daily grind of life. And I think you really sort of I think you really captured it when you sort of referenced like the inanimate object. So we'll jump into the first bit, which is death from entertainment. It's so easy. It's so pleasing. Now we're grieving. Past the screen, you couldn't take it. You couldn't face it. There's no fabricating. The screen, I sort of zoned in on that because I've got a little one and we're kind of, you know, me and my partner are constantly talking about our phone use, Like we'll be like, hello, are you present? Are you here? And he was like, well, when you're on your phone, make sure that you're present, you know, like, and then we're watching her when she's with the screens as well. And it kind of made me, you know, it's like a mirror to society and how we treat our phones. And I think, was that something that you wanted to kind of get in?
Yeah. Without getting into it too much, like not to try to be like too like lyrical about it. Just like, it's so easy. It's so pleasing. You know what I mean? It's like you can easily just, I don't know. Yeah. Like you say, sitting with someone, your friend or whoever it is, and just be like, well, I'd rather maybe you don't have to talk, you can just do that, you know, that will please me, do you know what I'm saying? And then part of that stuff as well, like now we're grieving, was a bit more like of the stuff that's just been going on recently, do you know what I mean? Like just like things of like death and like destruction on your screen, you know what I'm saying? Mm. It's like you're grieving through a phone, but it's like, are you really grieving? You know what I'm saying? It's not, it doesn't feel real when you're looking at it, but it's like, it is some sort of, you know, grieving or something like that.
Yeah, and then we can kind of normalize that in a sense. It's like you might see something terrible on your phone.
Yeah.
Then you just,
you know.
You can close your phone.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like past the screen, you couldn't take it. Like, that if that was really going on, you know what I mean? No one's on their phones like that. You know what I mean? So, but, yeah.
And what was happening in your life when you wrote it? Kind of obviously you're sort of looking observationally, but for you as well, what were you kind of going through?
I guess a bit of that just continuous same kind of thing every day of just like waking up and then, I don't know, like obviously making music and stuff, but like still a bit like unsure of what's going on in life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think last year was like a bit of a weird year just in terms of like the beginning was like, I was quite unsure of what I was gonna do with like my career in a sense and stuff like that. And then I put out an EP obviously. But I was still just like, I don't know what's going on, you know what I'm saying? So I was just working and then maybe just going out quite a lot and stuff like that, not really getting into anything, you know what I'm saying? Not really working properly and stuff.
Like limbo.
Yeah, limbo. And then obviously now, like it was like kind of just led up to writing the song. I wrote the song after a moment of observation of that time, do you know what I mean? So I think I was in a bit more of a clearer headspace and like a goal, you know what I'm saying? Just obviously like the whole record label stuff. So just in a place of like, maybe like some sort of seldom peace, just like, cause I know where I'm going in a sense, you know what I'm saying? And I have an idea, direction, and there's people to help me around. So it feels easier to talk about something that's happened than while you're in it, kind of vibe in it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, reflective. Because I always think about that sort of juxtaposition of being an artist, you know, working your day jobs or doing what you have to do to be able to make the art, you know, it's not everybody even gets to a point where they're able to do music, you know, full time. But there's this kind of weird place that we're receiving the music, we're watching your videos, we're listening to the EPs and stuff like that. People buying tickets to your shows and whatnot. But then on the other side of that, it's like a very, very much normality. It's like it's two worlds.
Yeah, innit? For real. I kind of like the two worlds thing though, because I guess when I was like started music when I was like 19, I was a bit more in the head of like, yeah, I just want to do that. I just want to just make music. That's it every day. Like, you know what I mean? But it's good to have like a sense of grounding.
Yeah. Because otherwise, how are you going to write?
You know what I'm saying? That's why like a lot of my friends, like most of my friends are, not they're all in creative fields and stuff, but a lot of them as well aren't musicians or like things like that. And it's good to be around that. Or even like you're just your family, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's cool.
I love the line, obviously, Death from Entertainment. Like, it's just like straight in, and that's how the song sort of kicks in. How did that line like come into your head?
I think when I write lyrics a lot, I'll go on the internet because I love the internet, innit?
You're a child of the internet. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I'll always like, when I'm writing lyrics, like whether I'm in the studio or something, I always like, I'll get a word or something and I'll find the meaning of the word, the definition on Google or something, and just keep looking and just like, what does this mean? And then maybe some random book or something will pop up in it. And I think Lauren Laverne, that's how you say her name?
BBC 6
she actually hit it, the nail on the head. Like she played the song and then she was like, I love the reference from Neil Postman, who's like he's like an author. And I obviously like, when I was writing the lyrics, I found his book and it's called Entertaining Ourselves to Death, kind of thing. And I kind of read what he was talking about and just kind of just took that and kind of like gave it a meaning. And she like clocked it.
Wow, that's deep. So, well done, Lauren. Yeah, I mean, she's a G, but that's some deep level.
So, yeah. And I just really liked the way it looked, didn't it? The words, the shape of the words, death by entertainment.
Yeah, because it's kind of... it's sort of like that.
The syllables and shit.
And you flip between, especially in that first verse, but you flip between sort of we, you, and me and we're. Is that on purpose?
I think it's a bit more, it's probably a bit more intentional. Because I don't know, a lot, I feel weird saying I too much in the songs and stuff, innit? Because obviously music is personal to you and that, but still a lot of the stuff is maybe drawing from other people as well. So it's like a bit of a nod to like a bit more inclusivity of people around me.
Know,
my friends. We could be me and you right here, could be people over there, do you know what I'm saying? So
I like that. I always use we when I talk about my record label.
Yeah.
It's only me. It's just me that works for it. But I'm like, we are so excited.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, and I've always done it. And I think maybe I would make it sound too insular.
For sure. Even when I do a post on Instagram, I'm like, we're playing a gig, not I'm playing a gig.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But I am in a band, so.
Of course. So. And would you say that the band is Sam Akpro or you are Sam Akpro with the band?
In a lot of ways, it's both, innit? Do you know what I mean? Because, since I started releasing music, which was like the beginning of 2019, I didn't really know what I was going to do with it. I was just kind of putting it out on SoundCloud and stuff. Luckily, I have lots of friends around who make music and stuff. And they were like, you should play this in like a live band vibe. And I was like, the music was quite electronic, but I was like, cool. So, and then I met the guitarist, Josh. He's Chucho. He's got the long dreads, tall guy, if you ever see him around. But I met him just like being out in Peckham and stuff at like Tola or something. And then he was like, yeah, I make music. I play guitar and stuff. And then he had a friend, Luke, who's the bassist. And then he had a friend, Kyle, who's the drummer. And they all went to like primary school together in school in like Forest Hill. And so it kind of just came together like that. And then we just started playing shows in the July of 2019. So it's always kind of been, they've kind of shaped what the sound has become in a way. Obviously, I'm still writing most of the music by myself at home, but there is their influence of the live guitars and stuff. Because I think if that was never involved, then it'd maybe be purely electronic or something else. Do you know what I mean? So, they're definitely a big part of it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a weird, it's like a solo thing, but it also feels like a band as well, which is what I think has helped, because it just, there's more to it than just like one person. You know what I mean?
And the more you dig into music and find out how it was made, you know, there's so many people in the room, or there's so many other factors of how you think your favourite song has been made. It's very, very rarely the eye.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no one can, I don't think anyone can really say, it was me who made it all myself.
unless
you're like Prince or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? like, yeah, you need help where you can get it. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's nice to, once I've made like a demo or something, share it with someone and see how their ear reacts to it, because I'm only one pair of ears, you know what I mean? It's not gonna benefit the music. It's not about me, it's the music. It's not gonna benefit the music from it just being locked away in a hard drive somewhere till I get it right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
And you've got so many references within the music that you've grown up listening to, kind of, you know, quick Google will kind of bring up from the post-punk to the jazz, you know. So when they kind of suggested kind of going down more the band route, was you like, yeah, because I feel like that, actually that, when you say that, it makes me think of when I listen to this.
Honestly, I think I wasn't really thinking about it in any type of way, because I was so new to like just the whole world of music. Do you know what I mean? In that way, like, I don't really start properly listening to music until I was like 16, 17. Oh, wow. Yeah,
because
I was skating, innit?
You were skating. It was sports or music?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I was skating from like 11, like hardcore, till like maybe like 17, you know what I'm saying? And like, it was only when I started watching skate videos when I got older and there was like all the music in it, which is like a mix of a lot of stuff, especially American skaters, like all the like the Baker skateboards, they always got like a lot of hip hop in their stuff, and then like got other brands where it's like a lot more punky stuff and like Tame Impala and shit like that. So like, yeah, kind of just wasn't really thinking about how it should come across or anything. It just kind of organically happened and it felt like the right thing to do. Do you know what I'm saying? And it helped that a lot of the reactions we got from our initial shows was really good, innit? Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, maybe I should keep doing this, what's going on, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, just happened really, innit? Yeah.
I feel like there's definitely like a skate profile. Like if I went, you know, like my partner used to be a skater, and like he'll talk to his blind face about his old skating life, you know. But he talks about the music that he listened to, be it the Fugees, you know, Smashing Pumpkins,
all that kind of stuff.
And then dig into the samples, but like through the skate world is what led him through into the music world. So let's get back to your song. So the chorus, woke up just to wake up again, I'm burning out, still play the game. And the chorus kind of repeats, and it gives this like groundhog feeling.
Yeah.
Was that intentional with the structure?
Just felt like the right thing to just say that. Yeah, I don't know,
Even that woke up just to wake up again, like that's so poignant.
Yeah. I just really liked that line as well. It just, it was very, I was just very visual about when I was thinking about how to say something like that without saying it in too many ways.
Yeah, like, I woke up today.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's just very, it's literal, isn't it?
Literal.
I like literal lyrics, I think, in a lot of ways. I try to write stuff where it's like, bit more like undercover and stuff, which is fun, but sometimes when you just say what you want to say, then it's better, isn't it? You know what I mean?
So. And do you sometimes would you think about the line and then work backwards? So like maybe you know you want to get to that point.
Yeah.
Would you kind of have to strip stuff away to get down to it?
Yeah, I think I never really used to find a way to resolve or things like that, but I think now I do find, or like I'll write everything and then go back, take things out, make it make sense, or take the first thing and put it the last thing, you know what I'm saying? So it makes sense and just, for sure.
When you hear it being sort of read back out, because it's sort of been quite a new thing we've been like experiencing, like hearing, and even me reading it versus how it's sung, it feels different.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. Like I always write, like I think a lot of people seem to write the lyrics after the music, which I do as well, but I do write a lot of stuff first on my notes, and then it sounds weird when you sing it, because once you've got melodies and words aren't the same thing, do you know what I mean? You've got to like fit the words around the melody, innit? So you always got to I always just write stuff down and then just edit it, take things out, because sometimes there's too many its or we's and stuff like that, so you've just got to like woke up. You know, I woke up today just to wake up. You know what I mean? Don't really.
Flow at the
same. You know what I'm saying? You've got to simplify it a bit, innit?
Phone notes or written notes?
Phone notes. Yeah. I used to write in like notepads and stuff, but it just don't really work, innit? I just lose them or just forget to write in them. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's just like kind of how I've grown up.
So yeah, I've gone back though. I'm like, if I haven't got a pen and I don't write it down physically, I can't remember.
Yeah,
it.
I think I edit things so much as well. You can't really, I don't want to have bare scribbles in it. You know what I mean? So.
Right, so your notes are like sacred to you. So if I went in your notes, it probably might not make much sense to me, but yeah, you know what's in
there. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because I write stuff down that I just find, like, I don't know, I'll find an advert or something and I'll see the slogan or something, I'll write it down, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. And then stuff that's just a bit more thought out as well. Mm-hmm. But I always write down one line words and stuff like that. It helps because then it triggers something when you go to write. You know what I mean? It triggers something that you might not know that you wanted to speak about or something.
Always observing. The song's actually perfectly looped, so I've been listening to it.
Oh, really?
Yes, I've been listening to it. And then at one point, I was walking the dog, and I knew I'd been out for longer than 3 minutes 28.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I couldn't work out where I was in the song.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's one Frank Ocean song on Blonded, which is actually perfectly timed to the speed of light. But yeah, I know, it's mad. I have to find out that song. But yeah, I wondered if that was that purposeful, or is that just good fact?
That just happened, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's calm.
Works for the DSPs, works for the streaming.
For real.
I like that you spoke about vocal performance and that you've been kind of thinking a lot more sort of about it, and you can hear that on the song, the sort of way that your voice changes when you're delivering certain things.
Yeah,
and
I
kind of felt like even like at the end of the song when you did the chorus, it's almost like, I felt two things. One, that you were almost wary, but also that you were also resolved. And
I think just when you get to the end of the song, it's a bit like a journey. Do you know what I mean? So it feels right to just, you know, bring it down or whatever it requires. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Physical health and mental health comes up a lot throughout the song. Kind of sometimes it's really sort of literal, kind of like left me bleeding. You kind of talk about being, you know, burnt out, the idea of your health gone to shit basically. And I guess, yeah, I wondered for you, you know, you're of the generation kind of age wise which have been probably the most open with talking about
mental health,
you know. And I guess, yeah, I kind of wondered, you know, for you, your friendship group, your sort of like world, is that something that's often discussed?
Yeah, I think so. Overtly and the opposite of whatever that is. But like, yeah, I think because it just, you know, a lot of people are out, you know, going out a lot and stuff and, you know, drinking and XYZ. And that stuff takes a toll. But obviously, you know, it comes from maybe trying to, you know, mask stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? Like things like anxiety and stuff like that. Do you know what I'm saying? But I feel like to get back to that, yeah, people just more open. Like, you know what I'm saying? Maybe sometimes it's not necessarily us trying to resolve things. It's just trying to talk about it so that you and your friends can relate and like not feel as guilty for maybe not being able to get out of bed straight away or like, you know, wasting the day because you feel like you can't go outside or something like that. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it just feels natural to talk about that stuff, innit? Do you know what I mean? It helps me get stuff off my chest as well, innit? So
we don't have the words for it. I think I always be like, oh, I've got, I've got butterflies.
Yeah, I always have butterflies.
Yeah. I always got butterflies. It's anxiety, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Now I can reference it. I know when it's coming. I know that I have a sort of physical breakout from it as well.
Yeah.
But people always talk about sort of like, you know, I guess the side of like going out and addiction or whatever. They talk about the thing and not the cause or what it's trying to mask. And I always thought about this when I sort of like the boys that maybe I grew up with or even like family members, the reason why they smoked weed was because of it slows their brain down. They're not thinking so much. It's like, I'm here now.
And even that can get to a point where if you do it, it stops working and it makes it worse.
Yeah.
That's why I had to stop smoking weed and stuff. You know what I mean? Cause I used to enjoy it. And then like at some point it just went, oh no, I can't do this anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's interesting.
Because they don't speak about, I think, that enough in music as well. Obviously, we sometimes glamorise that side of it. But, like, the majority of artists that are artists are not getting either hammered every day. For the most part, your favourite most successful artist is probably sober.
Yeah.
For the most part.
That's the thing is that I'm starting to realise is, like, if you want to be like some sort of successful, you have to work hard. You can't be going out every weekend or every day of the week. Do you know what I mean? To like actually work. Do you know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's a bit of like a, it's a bit of a not false, but it's like, yeah, it's like, oh, that's one side of them, but the other side is that they was in a studio every day doing something to exactly. get to where they are, to show you that they do that as well. Do you know what I mean? Which is a good thing to know.
Yeah, 100, like lift the veil and, you know, like, actually show it.
For real.
Watching you on stage, I was like, you give so much of yourself on stage. You know, there's like, it's physical energy, yeah. it's raw energy. And for us, like I said, we were, people were moshing, it's a release for them. Mm. And I really felt like I was chatting to one of the guys from Ezra Collective, one of the Mollisons, and I was like, oh, you know, whew, right, I can go to bed now, I feel great, you know. I felt like I'd had like a gym release. But for you, what's the release post-show? How do you feel?
Sometimes I feel kind of dejected, you know. It's weird. It's like, because it's so much of like an adrenaline rush, and then it's like a bit of a high. Once you get off, it's like, oh, that's done now. And then like, maybe wherever this is, maybe it's like a small gig or a bigger gig, it's like, it's the intensity of everyone else around you as well. I'm like, oh, I just get closed in a bit. And then mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I just want to chill with it. Do you know what I'm saying? I just want to chill, really. Do you know what I mean?
Like, bring yourself back down.
Yeah,
like work
yeah,
back
exactly,
down.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's just like a weird thing to be standing up on a stage and then like shouting or singing in front of bare people, and then you're not. You know what I'm saying? It's like a weird like juxtaposition or whatever. Yeah. Isn't it? You know what I'm
saying? Always talk about that. Like, the silence. Yeah. The silence can be deafening almost after. Sure. So how do you protect yourself then? Kind of like, you know, being observational, kind of thinking, you know, within this song, kind of, you know, it's an observational song, and then sort of thinking about yourself and how you protect those layers of yourself. What are some of the tools that you use?
I think just trying to know when to moderate myself, when I'm like, you know, having fun, being a hedonist.
I need to learn that.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
The off button.
Yeah. I think self-awareness is the best way of protecting myself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, self-awareness and then the action after it, you know what I mean? Like being sober for a bit and stuff like that, and just like, and I think the main thing is just making music, to be honest with you, and like, yeah, just like making music, like that's when I feel the most like, you know what I mean, like just happy and like nice feeling inside, because I'm like, fucking, oh, I just created that, you know what I mean, like whether someone hears it or not, it doesn't matter to me, innit. But when I'm just in my house or studio by myself writing and stuff, yeah, it's really fun. It's like a very nice feeling.
I like it. I like that. It's fun. It should be fun.
Yeah.
I wanted to jump into the second verse, and I love this. It's a phrase. Normally, sometimes you put out, I've been calling them the mother of all lines, but this is the mother of all phrases.
Oh, really?
Or the godfather of the phrases. Easily destroyed, easily employed. How were you built in the first place? No rest for the complaining. Easily destroyed, easy to exploit. Like, I feel like that's really a perfect way of commenting on society. And the idea of kind of how society treats people. This is kind of what I got from it, and you can tell me what you meant by it. Like the idea that we kind of, you know, people are just busy bees and get them to work and keep them in work, and you know, it's easy to exploit them in that way if you kind of keep them busy, but you've got no time to complain because you just got to keep on going, because it makes you know, society work. Is part of that like ecosystem of like the rich get rich or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
as long as the busy
bees
keep working.
Nah, for real. It's a bit of that. It's also it sounds like a good rhyme.
Go on. Yeah.
It's just a nice rhyme, I think. Nice words that went together. And then when I looked at it, it kind of made sense as well. Because it's a bit of a tongue twister though as well, isn't it? But I think it's definitely got something to do with that, like kind of, I was thinking about myself about that, really, do you know what I'm saying? Easily employed, easily destroyed kind of thing, do you know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know, just experiences from, I don't know, being in the, working in the pub and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying?
And then
my friends who work a lot, way more than I do in those kind of fields and stuff, innit? Like, you can go from one job to another so fast, and like, it's like, where does it end kind of thing, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And the idea of kind of being like easy to exploit, is that kind of in that sort of, that kind of constant. Factory of people coming in, coming out.
For sure. That it could be exploited in a lot of ways, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like mentally as well. It could fuck you up mentally. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's kind of, didn't really think about it too much, to be honest.
The rhyme is what
So
then writing style, then, would you say kind of, you know, actually you kind of demonstrate quite a lot of sort of variety within your writing. It's not sort of like one way. So we kind of know where you might like find stuff online to kind of leave short, snappy things. But the idea of kind of things that kind of rhyme, how, what would you say your writing style is?
Yeah, it's heavily reliant on the rhymes and stuff like that. Like, I listen to a lot of Ian Dury in it. Ian Dury and the Blockheads. And he was very good. Like his like the way he would like deliver lyrics, it's all rhymes in it. It's all rhymes, but it all like it has meaning as well in it, do you know what I mean? So I guess I always try to find what rhymes, but also start with a word that has a meaning and then use the word, but then just keep rhyming and then find the meaning in the rhyme, you know what I'm saying? And then swap it around, change the word, maybe go on Google, what's another word for this that rhymes with this word, you know what I'm saying? But within context as well, which I think is good because like it means that you're not necessarily thinking about what you're saying too much, so then you don't over contrive something, but then once you do find what you're trying to say, it all fits properly. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's really fun to write lyrics. They're quite hard to write.
It's like a puzzle, basically.
It's like Tetris or something, isn't it?
Just moving stuff around, trying to sort of see where it fits. So what song would you say that this fits perfectly next to? It's like in terms of like subject matter. In terms of subject matter, what, if we were to make a playlist kind of around it, what other songs would you say?
What, like another person's song,
yeah. Or other artists that you feel kind of delve into these themes?
Maybe Gang of Four, you know, because they kind of talk about like lots of social commentary and stuff like that in that kind of way. Do you know what I'm saying? I like the way that they write as well, innit?
I feel like social commentary is like, to me, that's history. And that's the history that I will look back on and be like, that is very reflective of a time, or it can really make me understand where somebody's coming from, even if I haven't experienced it for myself.
Exactly, yeah. For sure. I thought of a song now, Telephone for Eyes.
Oh, brilliant. Hat Baker.
That's a
good one, because that's so literal. And I'm like, literally, like, that's a thing. I sort of mentioned it at the beginning, talking about my child. We were like, she's got a telephone for eyes. Stop giving her the phone.
Yeah, no, that's a sick song. Shout out to Hack for that.
Yeah, big up Hack. And he came to the show and he really wanted to support you and kind of you and your journey.
Yeah, man.
There's a sort of breakdown and it's like, okay, I don't want to decay even just a little bit, just a little bit now. And then the delivery of that kind of, I guess, you know, we sort of spoke about the me, the we's, the you's, the I's. And then this kind of feels a bit like your inner subconscious, like subconscious.
Subconscious.
Yeah, that's it. Subconscious, like, yeah, it's like a little voice inside.
No, for real. Yeah. It's like after saying all that stuff, it's like, I still just want to be like, I don't want to be like messed up or anything. You know what I mean? I just want to,
It's like you're saying to yourself, okay.
Yeah, okay. Like, do you know what I'm saying? It's like waking up being like, oh, no, yeah, fuck all of that. You know what I mean? I want to be like, you know, feeling healthy and strong and all of that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, just a bit of a resolve in your head kind of thing, innit? You know what I mean? But yeah, that subconscious thing definitely fits with what I was trying to say, yeah.
And the video is so great. It's like Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
It's this idea. Yeah, if you haven't seen the video, please go away and check it out. But it's like sort of dressed in like, you know,
suits.
Yes, the suits, the sort of, I say bankers, it could be anybody that works in the city, but a party that just keeps on
going, innit?
Yeah,
like Pedro Takahashi, who's the director, he was like, had an idea of just like, there's like bankers or like just businessmen in Japan. And they like stay out after, because they work really long hours there, innit? And they stay out, and there's a name for them. I can't remember the name, innit? But they stay out till like the AM, and you see them lying on the street with like bottles and cigarettes, and like their suits are all messed up and stuff. So we kind of just use that like aesthetic vibe in the treatment, and then just used it to like give the song a different meaning visually. Do you know what I mean? Which is always good, because you don't want a song video to be like exactly what the thing is about, do you know what I mean? Because then it's not very, it doesn't let the person imagine enough, do you know what I mean? So yeah, that was a fun video to do.
made it more universal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's a bit more playful as well, do you know what I'm saying? So it feels less serious.
Yeah, yeah.
It's entertainment.
No, it was, it's a really, really, really fun video and, yeah, really interesting. And also because obviously, you know, you guys look so young as well. So there's this sort of like, then if you watched, oh my God, like Bugsy Malone.
Yeah. Because you've got the oversized suits and that, yeah.
It's giving like, yeah, Bugsy Malone, but Wolf of Wall Street. Because you're like, yeah, he just looks like kids, you know? So now kind of coming on the other side of it, how do you feel about the song subject now? And the world, kind of where the world's at.
I feel the same about the song. Because I think things don't change. Things take a long time to change, innit? About the world, I'm a bit more positive about just trying to make, I don't know, maybe the people around me trying to be a bit more like changing the way we live and stuff like that, which can, you know, you put certain energies out in the world, you know what I mean? It can, you never know, like it can help someone else's day or something like that, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Just aware of stuff, innit? You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, we're kind of coming into this next phase of your career in terms of what you're going to be releasing next. So if we use kind of Def Bay Entertainment as a kind of marker, where are we going next?
Where are we going next? I'm trying to think about the next song, innit? More of the same, the more of the like observational stuff. Yeah, more of that observational kind of lyrics and stuff, and like a lot more like descriptive cityscapey stuff, you know what I mean? And then just playing with the vocals a bit. Like the next song is really, it's like very like, it's like, yeah, it's like soft, but then it's harsh and then it's not harsh and then stuff like that. Yeah, I really like the idea of that. And then just trying to make good songs in it. Yeah.
So all about the songs.
All about the music.
Yes, ready for that. Well, we always like to leave people with one line from the song. So what would be a one line or one phrase from the song that you'd like to leave people with and why?
Past the screen, you couldn't take it. Maybe like that, leave people with that just because you should just think about, I don't know, being more grounded in reality rather than being on a screen, so you can just, you know, handle yourself a bit better in life, do you know what I mean? Because you can get really lost in stuff like that, do you know what I mean? So yeah, past the screen you couldn't take it.
Amazing. Well, we will take that and we will hold it. Thank you so much, Sam.
No problem. Thank you for having me.